This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leicester City Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. This is 30 minutes dedicated to the Foxes and the Foxes only. Everything where Leicester City is concerned. And you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. But it wouldn't be the Leicester City Fan Show without being joined by the main man himself. Lee Chappie joins us tonight from 100% LCFC Live. Lee, always a pleasure to talk to you. So much to be discussing from the weekend. Obviously, the touching tribute to the former chairman and obviously talking about the game with Burnley on the weekend. A big 3 points, VAR playing its part. Oh. We're going to talk about that, Lee. And obviously the game this Friday to Southampton. Let's start though. Obviously a wall of white honoured the former chairman on the weekend, Lee. And I know you was involved in that because we spoke last week about the walk and the players that were involved. Can you tell us a little bit more about the whole day?
Yeah, so the day really started from around 12:30 for Leicester fans. We gathered around the Magazine Square, which is near the De Montfort University in the city, a bit further down from last year's Jubilee Square. It's estimated around 12,000 were in attendance for the walk, which is less than last year, but I think last year was a significant reason because it's just happened. You know, it was a must be, you know, to event. And this year was still, it was a great outing, a brilliant turnout for the fans. And I think it's done well. I've not got the figures yet for charity, what it's raised, but maybe on the next show next week, I probably will be able to give you a figure on that.
Yeah, definitely, because we'd like to know. We've been keeping up to date on it and we've really just been keen to hear about it all, and definitely to see how that concluded will be fantastic. But you mentioned it so perfectly the other week, you know, it's bigger than Leicester, it's bigger than football, you know.
It was.
What happened, and just to watch it back, the game, and to see everyone, and it was a really touching tribute, just the sea of all the scarves there in the day, and obviously getting that result for him and his son being there. It was truly an emotionally charged day, wasn't it?
There was one image that I've seen online, which is still quite, it breaks your heart, really. And that's seeing Kuntop sitting next to his dad's chair.
Completely.
You know, he's not there with the scarves draped around it. It's just, it still gets you as a Leicester fan, more so. Yeah,
it was a real lump in the throat. I knew the exact image you was going to talk about, because he didn't sit in his father's seat. He sat next to it with a scarf, the white scarf.
Yeah,
and the slogan, you know, always in our hearts, and he's always in the Leicester City hearts. But I think truly all in football's hearts. It's such a tough day, you know, when something emotionally like this is going on around the club and for the fans, and you know, minds are elsewhere as they rightly are, and you still have a Premier League match to contemplate and get on with. You know, credit to the players, a professional performance. Getting that 3 points. And before we look at the game, Rodgers even said, you know, it sort of not distracted the players, but you know, the moment of the day, it took him a while to get up to speed. And he said, he doesn't like football cliches, but the chairman always wanted them to fight. And he said, you know, today we needed to fight to grind out this result. And it was nice he mentioned that. And obviously for the game itself, where Leicester did come out with a win.
Yeah, we grinded out the result. I think we were slightly helped with the VAR, which I'm sure we're going to go into, right?
Mm. Well, maybe, Lee. I think you've got some feelings on it.
Well, the thing is, I posted something on Twitter the other day about the VAR, and it's one of those, if it's for your team and it gives you the result, then you chant VAR, VAR, VAR. And the moment that it's against you, it's ruining the game. It needs to be gone. It needs to be changed. It needs to be edited and made to look better for us so we understand what's going on, blah, blah, blah. I'm really not sure about VAR. I'm still on the fence, to be honest. I want something like maybe, you know, like the cricket do or the tennis do, where you have a challenge of a decision.
Yeah, I completely agree that we see it. The head coaches are even allowed to challenge in the NFL, and if they get the challenge wrong, that challenge is taken away. A bit like exactly what you said in tennis. It feels weirdly. I don't know how you feel about this, and I want to ask now what the general consensus amongst yourself and Leicester fans. But I think everyone seemed at the start of the season very much in favour of VAR. It was going to help with the game and eradicate clear and obvious errors. But since we've come back from the international break, and particularly this weekend across a whole host of Premier League games, there were incidents, it feels like wrongly or rightly in that, it's sort of the tide has turned on VAR. Do you feel like that's truly?
I don't know. I think it's still got a big game to play, VAR. And I think it's got a lot to prove as well still. I really do. When you're a fan in the ground, I think there's too much time between what's going on and the decision, with nothing given to you in the middle of that. There's no information given to you. We got a 4-second clip of when Johnny Evans was going down, but we had no idea what was going on. There's no information. I think there needs to be something on the tannoids, almost, like, to explain what's happening.
Yeah, because it's an interesting debate you raise and point you raise, because, Lee, what I'm hearing from different sets of fans is the fans at home or are watching on, you know, on, when the scores are going into the paying punters in the stadium. It's a very different experience because the fans in the stadium don't actually know what's occurring. You're seeing a clip, you don't know where the fouls occurred, who's involved, who's being looked at. Let's talk about the incident now, because I'm assuming I know what you're going to say, Lee, but Burnley and Sean Dyche, very, let's say, livid, I think that's fair to say, that the decision didn't go their way. What's the Leicester City perspective on it?
I think Johnny Evans would have got to the ball and probably cleared it. But there was minimal contact, but I think maybe the way that it was, he was going to go down from that sort of position. It was a tiny clip, but it's one of them, like, it trips the, you know, like the backside of your foot, and that could have gone any way, to be quite honest. It really could have.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was watching the game with the updates, you know, all the pundits saying, oh, Johnny Evans has tripped himself. So I was like, oh, well, it should be a goal. Then I watched it. He didn't trip himself. So this is a problem. The information we're being fed was actually false at the time. I think Wood tripped him, but then I don't think he would have got the ball. You're saying that he would have got there. The ball was going in, but Gary Lineker, former Leicester City legend, pointed out on the weekend, doesn't matter if the ball was going in the back of the net or not. The foul occurred before that. So, rightly so, VAR is chalking the goal off because they're talking about the time of the foul and the ball hadn't reached the net then. It's so difficult, isn't it? You know, there's no... It is subjective, but there's no black and white here. You know, it all seems with VAR, there's quite a huge grey area.
There's a big grey area, and that includes when VAR is used. You know, it's like a foul that's been made but not been given, and then it's gone for a corner. The corner's been taken, and the goal's gone in. Well, why can't we take it back to that foul so you can look and see if it was actually a foul? So the corner don't even exist. So the goal don't even exist. You know, how far does it go?
Yeah. It is so tricky.
You know what I mean? How far does it go? No, that's the problem.
I know, and I'm having conversation with fans like yourself from all clubs, and even myself, I'm watching it, and I don't know where... I suppose maybe it has to get worse before it can get better. You know, VAR is still in its infancy. It's still such a small sample size. And ultimately, no team wants to be robbed of a clear and obvious error, but it's these tricky ones that... at the minute aren't helping, and the ref goes to the VAR. I'm a fan of, I want the ref to go and have a look at himself, a rewatch, rather than just going to this VAR room, the doubly, you know, the VAR room instead of the war room. I want the ref to be more in charge there because it is so subjective, and then we're giving that decision powers to elsewhere. Is that right, Lee?
Exactly. And I think, again, as I said, I think this would all be eliminated if it was down to the manager of the club to pull in the VAR. Like, I don't know, they have three turns a game, three chances a game, and that's it.
Yeah, it's so difficult.
Then just relying on the official to make the decisions. At least then you've got no argument. Why wasn't that asked? Why wasn't that asked? You can just leave it to your own manager. I know it's another responsibility that your manager's going to have, but I think that would take a bit more away from, you know, what the officials are doing.
Yeah, let's take a look at the game then, because regarding, obviously, Burnley's supposed equaliser, whether it should or shouldn't have stood, Leicester did win the game. Burnley made it tough for them, but Leicester did have their chance in, and a cracking winner by Tielemans, absolutely out of the top draw.
Yeah, I think a few shows ago, I'd said that I was a bit worried that he hadn't turned up yet, but he's now gelling, he's getting involved again, and he looks like a good buy now. Really, really starting to shine. The more we go into this season, man of the match for me, as well, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And it all makes for pretty viewing, Lee, because, you know, when you are going for the top four, we know Rodgers has said, oh, it's going to be a long old season. We're keeping our feet on the ground. But when you want to make that top four, teams like Arsenal last night losing, not picking up points, you're in third and keeping that fantastic home form going. You know, Brendan Rodgers only lost one at home. I believe it was Newcastle, and that was last year. And these are the games where banana skin of sorts, you know, trip up games, hurdles. You look at Burnley at home, very tough to break down. Could have easily got a draw. They took the lead 1-0. The character to come back, keep that run going. These are the games, if you want to get into those positions, ultimately you have to win.
Definitely, mate. And it also helps when other teams that should be around us are losing, like last night, like Arsenal. You know, it looks good where we are right now. You know, I can't remember the last time we was at this position in the Premier League, apart from winning it. I'm excited. I'm dreaming here, but who knows?
Mate, there's nothing wrong with dreaming. And what I feel like is going for Leicester, we talk about Arsenal, Chelsea, United, Spurs, whoever, because teams always want to talk about them. The national media would like to talk about them over maybe Leicester. They get the first nod in. And when you're talking about the top four, top six, they speak of Chelsea, United, Arsenal and so on. But out of those teams, they're all faltering at the minute. They're all in transition. No one's really taking that third, fourth spot by the scruff of the neck, you know, grabbing it by the collar. Well, they are. It's Leicester.
Leicester
is the problem.
Yeah.
When everyone's sort of, you know, not picking up results, someone has to appear from the pack. And if Leicester appear now, and which they have done, there's no reason why they can't keep that run going, that momentum and confidence. And it's all it takes, isn't it, Lee?
Exactly. Like I say, I think Champions League football is now, I'd say, minimum.
Like, wow.
I've gone from sort of like expecting sort of maybe sixth, and you know, a bare minimum of say 10th. I'm talking bare minimum there. To now, the way that we're playing, the way that the fans are behind the team. I can't see why we can't get Champions League football.
Exactly, why not? And you know what's crazy, Lee? You know when I talk about Leicester and I go, top four, definitely Champions League, and you say things like that, people go, oh, bold prediction, really? What, Lee said that, the minimum Champions League, bold, and then they follow it in the same sentence with, but they could do it. Well, if they could do it, it's not bold, is it?
Well, exactly. Since Brendan Rodgers has been here, he's took 34 points from 57. Mm. Right, he's won 10, he's drawn 4, and he's lost 5. Home, 23 points out of 30. He's won 7, drawn 2, lost 1. Away, 11 points out of 27. Won 3, drawn 2, lost 4. I mean, that's the best, apart from Claudio Ranieri, in the same amount of time, that's the best performance as a manager at Leicester City Football Club.
Oh, I love that, Lee. Do you know what I like? Nothing more than talking to you, Lee, but nothing more than a stat. I love stats like that on the end. I love good runs like that. It makes me feel good. You are in action on the Friday night game. We're going to talk about that a little bit after the break, but just quickly, Friday night game, always a tricky one. You're expecting a win here away from home, Lee?
Yeah. Like we've just said about, the, you know, we've lost more than we have won under Brendan Rodgers so far. It is an away fixture. Southampton, however, they are in bad form. What are they lost the last three and drawn, is it the last one, sorry?
The last four games.
So they're not in the best of form, and I think we, although like I said, we've lost the previous game to the Burnley, was it Liverpool, sorry, but I mean, I felt like we should have got something out of that, and the Man United one as well, I still feel like we should have got something out of that. I don't see those two as bad losses. I just see them as a little bit unlucky. I think our forms were on fire. I can only see Leicester going there and trying to take all 3 points, if not taking them.
Yeah, and Southampton have been better away from home than at home this season. It feels like the perfect time to go to St Mary's. They're not playing well. Leicester, you said it yourself, they're on fire. They seem to be firing on all cylinders. Lee, as always, our time is too short, but a pleasure talking to you. Lee Chappie there from 100% LCF Live. This is the Leicester City Fan Show, and there's still more to come.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leicester City Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from Lee Chappie there from 100% LCFC Live. And one guest is never enough on Love Sport Radio. So that's exactly what we've done. We've gone out and gone and got another. We are now talking to Chris Forian from Leicester Till I Die podcast. Chris, I want to ask you there. We was just talking to Lee. And by the way, I have to say, Lee predicted Leicester to beat Southampton on Friday night 2-0. But Chris, I just want to quickly get your thoughts on the Burnley game, the VAR situation, before we take a deeper dive into that Southampton game. A great 3 points, but what did you make of the VAR saga?
Do you know, go back a couple of years, or even last year, all we as fans ever did was complain about the ref's decision. the ref got this wrong, he didn't see that, how could the linesman miss that? You know, we just love, not just the ref, but the sort of officials as a whole, we love to sort of complain. If we lost the game, it was their fault. Mm. If we brought VAR in, it's VAR's fault. When it went against us, I believe, personally, in the Liverpool game,
yeah,
we got a good slice of luck. He caught him, would he have got to the ball, who knows, but it went in our favour against Burnley. And I think we're back to the same as when we just had the refs making the decision, is that basically it's going to even out over the year. I think it's ridiculous that the refs can't get a chance to go and look themselves at the side of the pitch. I think, you know, we've gone 90 odd games now and not one of them has done that. But if we get rid of VAR, what do? Go back to the referees? Will fans be happy? No.
No, it's completely right. We want one thing, Chris, and then we end up wanting something else. Typical fans. It's true, because if we do go back, things that the ref will miss, you know, to the naked eye in that quick split second, they're going to miss, yeah, when VAR has helped in certain situations. It's interesting, the first thing that you mentioned there is that, you know, sometimes it works for you and it doesn't work for, yeah, you. We can't pick and choose when we like VAR. It just doesn't work like that. And it is there, yeah, to, you know, eradicate clear and obvious errors. And like yourself has just said, and Lee's just said, not all of them are clear and obvious, are they?
They're not. I mean, you know, twice, you know, any Leicester fan would turn and say it was two dubious penalties against Man United and against Liverpool. But we got lucky, again, I believe, in the first game when we played Wolves, that their goal was cancelled out due to a handball. You know, you could question whether he was actually controlling the ball or not. And like I say, Burnley, I think we rode our luck and I think we got away with it. So, for my mind, that's to all with the decisions. I don't know if there's any answer to this. If a team loses, we just, you know, look to blame somebody on the team quite often. What do we do if we're not happy with VAR? Do we go back to rest? And then we'll just be moaning about them again.
It's so true, because the thing that you mentioned, Chris, you know, oh, well, this one didn't happen for us, this one worked out in our favour. But we don't want to be in a situation where we're working on swings and roundabouts, like, oh, you know, in the law of averages, it's 2-2 there for Leicester. We want the results to be justification, really. You know, if this was a goal, this was an offside, this was a foul, you know, rightly awarded, and if it wasn't, then it gets overturned. We can't rely on law of averages, because on one day, whether it be a cup final or a massive relegation 6-pointer or chasing for the title, we could get the wrong outcome, couldn't we?
Yeah, and I think if you look, I don't think one panel decision have been overturned yet.
Mm.
So everything's gone agreeing with the referee, and a lot of people are questioning whether, you know, St George's Park will ever, you know, overturn a referee's penalty decision. I don't know. I mean, I must admit, I was a great fan of, I wanted VAR into the, you know, game. And I think when it used it at the World Cup and the refs went to the side of the pitch to look for themselves, I think that seemed to work. But maybe we should just go back to the refs and say, look, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human. We go with what the refs say.
Yeah, and it's difficult, because I was talking just about this with Lee, and now me and you are speaking about it, in the sense that wanting the ref to have another look maybe at the screen on the side, because it is all coming from that VAR room, that they should be allowed to see it for themselves and have their view on it, even if it is subjective. It's all coming from that VAR room, and we don't know quite why they're deciding whatever reasons behind it, why they're deciding it how they are. You know, if they were to come out and go, look, we're overturning this, or this is a foul, or it's not a foul because A, B and C, we could go, all right, we don't necessarily agree with that decision, but we understand it because you're explaining it. It's all this little bit of confusion, uncertainties. There's no clarification, is there, Chris?
Not at all. I mean, you know, nothing goes up on screen. You know, well, some grounds haven't got screens, and we're waiting. And you know, I think they're scared that if they overturn too many referees' decisions, that people, you know, they'll think it is undermining the referee. But if the referee goes to the side of the pitch, and as far as I understand, at every Premier League ground, there are TV screens at the side of the pitch for referees to go and look at. But the referee to go over and go, yeah, do you know what? I got that wrong. And he overturned his own decision. I tell you what, I think the people would have a lot more respect for the referees.
Yeah, I think we're going to... This one's going to play out. There's always teething problems. We're at the start. It's always going to take a while. Anything that's new, people don't like change. I'm including myself in that. It's going to take a while for us to get used to it. Let's turn our attentions to the game on Friday.
All I'd say on that point is look at Klopp. How happy he was when he got the penalty against us, and how unhappy he was when he didn't get one in the Man United game.
Yeah, it changes the emotions of the game, high or low, fans are chanting for VAR. It does add a certain element to it. It's certainly a factor in the game. I was going to ask, Chris, the game on Friday night, you're the first of the next round of Premier League action. Always tricky, a Friday night game. It is away to Southampton, but they're not in the greatest home form at the minute. Leicester are proving they're on a great run. It could be the perfect time to play them. What are your thoughts ahead of the game?
I mean, I always think, and you told me sort of Leeds prediction of 2-0, I'm always concerned as to whether we will actually manage to keep a clean sheet or not. You know, I mean, you look at the Burnley game. That said, what I like about Leicester at the moment is we're quite resilient.
Yeah.
And I know we've got sort of an ex-Liverpool manager, but I'm old enough to remember sort of the Paisley and the Shankly and those days. And the thing with those sort of teams were, they were patient, and they went 1-0 down. They didn't panic. You know, we didn't go out and win every game 5-6-0. But, you know, even when we're 1-0 down, you're looking at it and thinking, you know, we could still get something from this. You know, it's not sort of the heads aren't going down. It reminds me a bit of the season we won the Premier League. You know, how many games we won coming back from, you know, a negative position to start with. So... That's what I like about the team at the moment.
And, well, they're showing incredible character, aren't they, Chris? Because, you know, there's 1-0 down on the weekend in what was a huge, obviously, emotional day for the club, emotional day for the team and the players. They came back 2-1, you know, never easy to come back in a game. And they're showing, they're sort of stepping out in the race at the minute. This, why not Leicester?
Why not indeed? I mean, and I think, you know, you have to look at that. And I know people have a go at me, so, yeah, it happened how many years ago, and just get over it now, it's happened, it's not going to happen again. But the fact of the matter, we did go and win the Premier League. Everybody said it couldn't happen. So whether it's us, whether it's West Ham, whatever, there's no reason why clubs can't sort of break the mould.
Well, where can Southampton hurt you this weekend? They are down, they're just above the relegation places. Can they get a result? It's always hard to keep a run going. Are you confident, Chris? What are you thinking?
We're away from home, which is never easy. Like you said before, I don't think they can hurt us. You know, I mean, I've just done a thing on my website there where I speak to opposition fans and get their thoughts before the game.
Yeah,
and I've literally just put it up for Southampton now. And, you know, even the Southampton fans predicting a 1-0 draw. He's gone for 2-1, finally, because nobody wants to predict against their own team. But, you know, his head is saying 1-1. So they're not the most confident at the moment.
So
you know, if we can get at them early on, you know, I think we can. And I think it could be a good game for us.
Well, another game that you are in that top three. You're emerging from that pack when Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, you know, United are all in transition or struggling. You win on that Friday. You overtake City. You move to second. They're feeling very confident. Before I get your score prediction, you move into those positions, Chris. Just heard from Lee Chappie there. He's saying minimum now, for the way Leicester have started, is top four. They have to finish in the top four. Is that the minimum, and will they do it?
I would love us to finish in the top four, don't get me wrong. And I think if you look at Man City, I mean, Liverpool are just on an amazing run. And yeah, they got that last-minute penalty against us. And that's the sort of decisions that go your way when you win in the league. And it happened for us when we won it. We got those decisions go for us. There's no reason, like you say, we go second. You can't. Whilst I see Liverpool going out and I can't see them losing, I can see Man City losing, because they have done, let's be honest with you. So there's no reason why we can't break into there and, you know, go second and stay above Man City for a few weeks. I think Chelsea surprised me, because I thought Chelsea would struggle this year. I really did. But they've proved wrong, and they're up there fighting. I would be disappointed. I'd definitely say we're going to be top six.
But you're not sure about top... Well, listen, it's an open race. People are interested in a title race, but that top four race is just as exciting. Chris, I have to push you. What's your score prediction for Friday night then, Southampton, to keep that top four, top six run going?
I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1, I expected no less. Chris, always a pleasure to talk to you. Chris Forian there from the Leicester City Till I Die podcast. Please check him out. This has been the Leicester City Fan Show every Tuesday right here on Love Sport Radio, 10 to 10.30, and you can always join in.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.